It's going now.
How many of you been to Linville Gorge? Is it pretty cool? Is it pretty safe or not? If you stay on the trails and walk.
Stay on the trails, yeah.
Okay. I dropped off my son's father-in-law and my son to go fly fishing for a couple of days. And I have to pick them up down the road a little way, and I'm on Thursday. And I'm hoping that I get there and they're going to be there too. I have a much longer trajectory now.
But you still have students there.
There's people there, and they're going to say, Dr. Fox is too freaking weird. Let's see here. So we're talking about then this new form, or the auxiliary form of illegal discrimination, which augments as to the definition of illegal discrimination, which we have formerly known as adverse treatment. So what happened to the chalk?
It's right here on your table by your phone.
Oh, yeah. There it is. That's because I pushed the chalk app. See, in this.
Uh-huh.
So we have two forms now of illegal discrimination. That brings up a point. One, adverse treatment. Is, by the way, adverse treatment on just the fact that you treated someone based on protected group? Is that illegal? Come on, take a damn stand. Is it illegal?
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid people would say. But what happens if you can show that it's a BFOQ? So, my point is, don't simply because something is adverse treatment assume that it's illegal. So if I say, I come in and say that I'm just adversely treating someone, don't assume that it's illegal. It could be a BFOQ. Everybody understand that, right? Okay. So adverse treatment becomes illegal when it's not a BFOQ. Right. Then we proceed to try to come to some legal agreement as to what the company should do. So if adverse treatment's not BFOQ, then it's basically illegal. And remember, this is one-to-one direct, right?
What's a BFOQ?
Bonafide occupational qualification.
Thank you.
Didn't I talk to you about this already?
Yeah.
Get out of here. You all decided to lie to me at the same time, right? BFOQ, Bonafide Occupational Qualification, which means, how did I forget this? Probably second class. So BFOQ, Bonafide, B-O-N-E-F-I-D-E, Bonafide, which means real occupational qualification.
You kind of talked about it, but you didn't say that exactly.
You talked about the creed and gender.
Well, that's it. Creed and gender are BFOQs.
But how do we know that they're connected if you don't say it?
I would have had to have said it. But the only two BFOQs there are creed, which is to say religion, and gender. Okay? Yes, Dr. Fox. Now we understand. So the only BFOQs that exist are creed and gender of the five that we know about so far, protected groups.
There's more.
All right. Now, adverse impact. What have I told you so far about adverse impact?
Indirect,
group-based, not necessarily intentional. It might be, but it's not obviously intentional. Are these leftover old ones?
Yes.
These are the bane of my existence. These things lurk in my office to the end of the semester when I can barely find my desk anymore. Natalie, are you not here? Well, thank you. Pass this over to Natalie. She's wondering where her paper is. John Barr? Carly Cardwell? I know. Why didn't you take it when it came around? You think I want this to put on my own refrigerator? Isaac Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Send that over to Isaac here. Krista Lomer?
Nope.
She's not in the class anymore, or she is?
She's not here today.
She's not here? Boy. Bad girl. Well, she sent me an email. Davis Clayton?
Not here either.
Brock Gates? And Nick Lucia? Did I say it right? Lucia? Lucia.
No. Lucia.
Lucia?
No. They make it CH, they spell it here. Lucia.
Lucia? Okay, like chia seed. Like
how,
a chia seed.
How do you want to remember it?
Chia seed is CIA, isn't it?
Yeah.
So?
No, it's chia.
Lucia.
You don't have another one. I didn't get my dad.
I don't think I have any more. Unless you want to pretend you're Davis Clayton today.
Yeah,
got it?
Oh, everything's working out.
So my dad, whose last name was Hasrick, H-A-S-S-R-I-C-K, had a very famous house designed by a famous architect. So when the architect's book came out 30 years ago, had a book put out, there's my dad's house, and there our house, and it says his name is Hasrick, Hasrick, maybe it was, H-A-S, no R, I-C-K. So there is in print. So now the house is known by the wrong spelling of his name forever and ever. And I even wrote to the architect sort of, he's dead now, but I wrote to the, well, we'll see what we can do to change it. It's pretty weird, I'm telling you, to have your dad called by the wrong name from this landmark, you know. It's pretty weird. Like Washington was spelled without a T or something. What would George think? Anyway, all right, so we have adverse impact here, and an adverse impact situation is unintentional group-based discrimination. For example, I want people to pass a test in which they have to lift 100 pounds or 200 pounds. It's going to have an adverse impact against women. Is that illegal?
Maybe
is correct, but at this point, the answer is definitely no, because it might be maybe. It may be illegal, it may not be, so therefore it's not legal or illegal. So you can say, no, it's not illegal, until it's proven to be job-related or not job-related. If it's job-related, an important element of doing the job, then that form of discrimination is legal, because you have to lift heavy weights or whatever it might happen to be. Everybody follow me on this, right? So neither of these forms of discrimination is illegal until you determine if it's job-related or if it's a BFOQ. Job-related here. If it's not job-related, then it's illegal. Okay. What I want you to understand is just because we can measure adverse treatment or adverse impact and see that it exists, we don't know for sure whether or not it's illegal. So don't leap to conclusions and say, oh, it's a bad thing, because it might not be a bad thing. I mean, we see adverse impact all the time, but we don't recognize it as adverse impact. Right, we just see it, right, and just say that's the way it is. Why are all professional baseball team members in the national and other leagues at that level, why are they all men? Is it illegal? Is it adverse impact? Is it adverse impact? Yes, it is adverse impact. What they're looking for is somebody can smack a ball over a wall or leap really high or run really fast or whatever it might happen to be. Would they hire a woman that could hit 460, right, and pull off double plays 7 times per game at shortstop? Would they hire that person?
Yes.
If it was a woman? Yes, they would. But the reality is that that woman doesn't exist yet. So what we have is adverse impact, but it's not illegal. So be careful about that. We see it all the time, but quite often it is job-related. But you need to make sure that it is job-related before you implement it. Why would you not want to implement an adverse impact selection process or an adverse treatment selection process, even if they were job-related? What's the negative aspect of it?
Narrowing your choices.
Right. So you would want to make sure that what you're choosing is an actual very important component of doing the job and not something that's just sort of a whim of yours. And where does this come in? Where does this, how does this hurt us as when we start to make a selection process? What do we tend to choose when we sit down and make a selection about somebody sitting in front of us that we're talking to about possibly to getting a job?
People like us.
People like us, correct. We want people who are like us. Do you ever wonder why? Don't you wonder why? Why do we like people like us?
Because we get along with them.
We feel comfortable with them. We don't feel threatened by them, etc. And who do we feel threatened by?
People that are not like us.
People who are not like us, i.e. people that are different from us, that maybe look different or have different mannerisms in a social setting or whatever, laugh strangely, right, whatever. And have you ever wondered why that is? Think. You know, when you lie awake at night, think about important questions like this. Why do people that are different make us nervous?
A trust issue?
Yeah, a trust issue. But what's this anchored in? Go back 50,000 years. Why did we distrust people who didn't look like us?
Different meant you were dead.
Exactly. People that were different from us generally killed us. And if we didn't distrust them, we might walk up with our hand out. Hey, fella, great to see you. Sure, you're weird looking and from a different tribe than we are. But what the hell, let's be friends, right? To which the guy pulls a gigantic club out from behind his head and back, whatever, and beats us over the head till we're a mashed human, right? Well, the idea of trusting people that were different from us didn't survive. The idea of being wary of those people did survive because they stayed at a distance and weren't clubbable. So, over the years, the people who were distrustful of strangers and wild animals and all those kinds of things lived, and those of us that were friendly and outgoing with a stretched hand died. Right? So that's why we continue to be distrustful of people that are different from us. But hopefully we're going to overcome that and find the best person for the business, right? So in that case, we know that there's this idea of having people just like us, but we recognize also that people that are just like us are only a small part of the applicant pool, that we want to find a much larger applicant pool to find the very best person for the job. Did I tell you all this already? Yes, Dr. Fox, you're probably repeating yourself. All right, so remember it. On into the future, forever and ever, amen. Because you do tons of stuff like this. Why, for example, does anybody take a perfectly good Japanese car and spend $40,000 making it look like a Tokyo taxi cab? Change the steering back over to the other side, buy all the necessary stickers, change the tires out that are tires that are used on Tokyo taxi cabs, and make their little Toyota here in Boone, North Carolina, look exactly like a taxi cab that you would hail in Tokyo. Why do people do that?
They got nothing better to do with their money.
And what do they find when they do one themselves? They find 100 other weirdos around the nation that do the same thing. And they all get together and talk about how cool their cars are because they look more and more and more like a real Japanese cab, right? Which is why people have clubs and other things that they belong. Like-minded people make us feel more comfortable. At a Ford group, Chevy people don't come and visit, right? The Chevy group, the Ford people don't come and visit, right, et cetera. So what we're looking for here is this assimilation of like people. And this is important to why we limit our applicant pools through this process, particularly of adverse treatment. I told you about the roofer I hired, right? Yes. I didn't tell you about the roofer I hired. I interviewed 3 or 4 guys to put new metal roof on my house. The guy that showed up with the Eagles front license plate, that's the guy I hired. Was that a good decision? No. I was a dummy. Why? I figured he's from Philadelphia. He had to be a cool guy. Let's hang out, right? Talk about the Eagles, et cetera, et cetera. Turned out he was a nice guy, but he wasn't really a very good roofer. And then he died halfway through the job, and I had to finish it myself. So it was a big pain in the ass. That'll teach me, right? If I hadn't been an insecure mass of trembling protoplasm, I wouldn't have had to hang out with him. Whatever. All right, so what we have here then is basic reasons why we tend to discriminate. It's good to recognize this. All right, so these components here can make it legal. Let's talk about each of these. This, I told you, was intentional. One-to-one, right? Straightforward. And it's fairly obvious that you're excluding certain people from your place of business. If you look out across the place of business and there's no women there, there's no Hispanics, there's no African Americans, there's no white people, whatever, right? This begins to look like an adverse treatment situation, possibly a one-to-one, or maybe even adverse impact. So it's physically viewable. But in this particular situation, it becomes a little more subtle in an adverse impact situation. In an adverse impact situation where we're doing group-based, we need to have some kind of way of determining whether or not there's a cutoff for adverse impact. And there is a cutoff. And do you know what that number is? If you hire, let's say you're hiring 100 people, and you have 50 men, 50 men, we'll do it this way, 50 men and 50 women, right? Is there adverse impact?
No.
Okay. How about if it's out of 100, if it's 60 men and 40 women?
Are we just considering gender in this?
Just gender. Just talk about gender. We'll keep it because it's a bifurcated choice.
No.
So
no.
Hmm?
Still no.
So what does it have to be the cutoff that meets the concept of adverse impact? In other words, adverse impact does exist.
80-20.
Did you get that out of an earlier class?
Complete guess.
A complete guess?
Complete guess.
Reminds me of a story, but that's okay. So we have an 80-40, and this, as you might imagine, is known as the 4/5 rule, or 80% rule. And here's how it works. You're not actually comparing people, you're comparing hiring rates. Here's how it looks. And this is an important rule of thumb for you to be able to determine whether your company is manifesting adverse impact. So in this case, we looked at number of hired women divided by number applied women divided by number hired men over number applied men. Okay? So, what we're looking at is to compare the two hiring rates. And let's give some numbers to this. Let's say we have 20 women hired out of 40 women applicants. Okay, and of the men, we have 40 men hired out of 60. Excuse me, 60 who applied. Do the math for me. It should come out 33, right? I'm just glancing and thinking. So this is a half, this is two-thirds, and two-thirds of a half, or half of the two-thirds.
Yeah.
Third. Is it 33? Somebody do it for God's sake. Touch a little slide. Push the buttons there. What do you got? Or are you calling somebody on their phone? You were texting somebody to say, Dr. Fox is such a moron. I don't know why I'm sitting here when I could be out doing fantasy football.
Yeah,
it's two-thirds. Is it two-thirds or one-third? Is it two-thirds?
What do you divide by
50? Oh, yeah, two-thirds. Okay. So we have, so this is, This is 0.5 divided by
0.66.
Which means you turn it over and multiply or something. 0.33. What is it?
0.75. And some number.
Okay. All right. Now, given the number that you gave me, does this indicate that adverse impact exists?
I don't think so. No, it's not 80%.
80% or above is necessary to show no impact exists. So under 80% shows that adverse impact exists, because the hiring rate is so different here that it's under 80%. So the hiring rate in this case indicates that adverse impact exists.
So over 80% is okay, but under is bad.
Over is okay up to 1.2%. 1.2.
Okay.
In that case, you reversed it. Yep.
What if you're like doing a movie or something like that, where you need like a specific like character, example of a character, like Superman?
Yeah, it'd be hard to have Superwoman.
I mean, like, but like what I'm saying is like the racism part of the BFOQ. So is that illegal technically? If you're like,
you're doing a casting call for extras in Chinatown,
yeah,
like only hire
an Asian Superman. But they wouldn't be faithful to the comics, you know?
What do you think? I'm asking you philosophically, what do you think?
Like,
the most easy one to think about is gender.
Okay.
And you have a role for a woman in a movie or a man in the movie, and the opposite applies. What happens? The person doesn't get the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely. So is it adverse impact? Yes. But is it going to be considered job-related?
Yes.
I think it would, in most cases, it's going to be considered to be job-related. Same is true for runway models for women's fashions in Paris, you know, where these look like caricatures of women, 6 feet tall and weigh about, 85 pounds, come walking down wearing these gowns. Well, could a guy get this job? I would assume no.
No, not if you want to sell your clothes.
Not yet. Not if you want to sell your clothes, yeah. And so in that situation, they're going to say that it's a job-related requirement. And in this case, it's one-to-one intentional, so it's a BFOQ. All right. So, but in this case, when it's under 0.8, when that calculation there of hiring rates, not the number hired per se, it's the actual hiring rates, comparing the hiring rates of each group. And if that hiring rate comparison shows to be less than 0.8, then we have adverse impact. If it was perfect, if the hiring rates were exactly the same, what would be the number that we got?
One.
Correct. So as we move away from 1, it gets... Yeah, 0.8, below 0.8, because you're too far away from 1, which would be okay. Perfect, actually. Everybody follow this? Now, why is this important? So that you can just real quickly investigate whether or not your selection process is causing adverse impact. If it is causing adverse impact, you want to make sure that the reason it is causing adverse impact is related to doing the job, not on your belief of what would be related to doing the job, but on the actual aspects of doing the job. I mean, you might say, well, they have to lift a heavy weight, so I just arbitrarily took 200 pounds as an arbitrary weight. And I told each of the people applying for the job to lift 200 pounds, and those that couldn't, I didn't hire, and those that could, I did hire. So I ended up with an all fill-in-the-blank workforce. I'm waiting for you to fill in the blank. Herculean or what, some steroid intense group. Let's just say males. We got all these males. Now what happens when we see that the adverse impact exists because of our weight test? What should we do?
Make sure the weight test is valid.
Make sure that the weight test is a job-related valid consideration. Do people have to be able to lift 200 pounds to do this job, or is this just some sort of fig Newton of your imagination, as I used to say. Fig Newton of your imagination.
Now, what do you do on this when they come up to you and say, how come
who's
you...
Who's they?
the government.
Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is enforced by?
EEOC.
EEOC.
Okay, when they show up at your door and they say,
they
okay.
Don't, they send you a letter first and ask you to explain yourself.
Okay, what I'm saying is, if, like in this case, if the 40 applicants, or the 20 applicants and the females didn't get hired due to reasons of background check didn't get passed or something like that, and you justify it, these are why we didn't hire these women. Are you okay? Or
of course you're okay. The company, the government isn't going to require you to hire people that aren't qualified. On the other hand, arrest, be careful now, arrest records do not serve as a discriminatory distinguisher. Why is that? Because if you're arrested, you are not necessarily
guilty.
You got arrested, but you didn't necessarily do it. On the other hand, conviction record is something you can select on in certain job situations. Hotel porter, where you have a key to all the rooms. Can you be selective about conviction records there? Yes. For certain types of crimes, breaking and entering, theft, that kind of stuff, would be a selected tool for porter, bellboy, whatever they call it, bell person. I'm just saying, don't think that if somebody gets a fraud, right, they're arrested for fraud and convicted, and they do 10 years for fraud, doesn't mean they can necessarily be banned from a job carrying bags at a hotel. It's an unrelated crime. So they say. So, in all of this then, you as business owners, or at least people involved in human resource aspects to some degree, one way or the other, you need to understand what's going to indicate that we have adverse impact. You don't want adverse impact because you don't want the government looking at you, and you also, of course, more importantly in my opinion, don't want to shrink the relevant applicant pool that's useful to you. You want the best pool. So you don't want to arbitrarily say, let's lift 200 pounds and we'll get rid of all the women. We don't think that's a good idea because you're losing qualified people, most likely, unless there is a 200-pound lifting part of that job. All right. So with this in mind, then, you're remembering, of course, that each one of these is not illegal or legal until you've looked at the possible excuses for either one. And as you move into looking at these excuses, you want to say to yourself, do I really want to have this excuse in place? Or am I putting an excuse in place that sort of will serve, but really does more to harm me, limits the relevant labor market, and gets me poorer applicants? For example, 20 or 30 years ago, most schools thought that they had to have male business professors. That was normal, right? And probably just earlier than that, before these laws were passed, business professors were always male because males looked like the people that should be in charge, et cetera, right? Run the businesses and be titans of Wall Street and that kind of crap. The reality is, were you limiting the relevant labor market when you said only men can teach these classes? Yes, you were certainly limiting the market. Were you limiting the market in such a way that the students were getting the very best professors? Probably not. Okay. So, it may sort of seem okay, but don't perpetuate it if it doesn't seem to be truly germane to doing the job, you know, truly related to doing the job. Okay, so adverse treatment and adverse impact with this particular criteria. Now, you might ask then, how do I prove adverse treatment? You apply for a job, you get turned down for that job, and you say, I got turned down because I'm of some protected group, race or gender or some such. I got turned down because of that. How would you prove that you had been illegally discriminated against if you were a lawyer? How would you do this? I know it's late in the afternoon and I should make you stand up and do jumping jacks, but think hard. How should you prove that you should have gotten a job and that the company was illegally discriminating against you?
You're much more qualified than the person they hired. That would be
why not just say as qualified as? I'm just as qualified as the person that they hired. They had the same education, they had the same work record, the same number of years, and this and that. How about if they hired somebody who was of the same protected group, subgroup as you? Do you now have a case to stand on or not? No. You're up a creek then. Well, we couldn't have been discriminating against women because we hired a woman. Or we couldn't have been discriminating against Native Americans because we hired a Native American, et cetera. See my point? So that's not going to work. It's got to be that you were as qualified or more qualified, that the person that they hired was actually of a different subgroup in this particular comparison group, whatever it might happen to be. Right? I say protected group, subgroup. And that you weren't hired, they were hired, they were no more qualified, and they were a different protected group, subgroup.
Okay, now if you have two applicants and they're the same.
In all shape, way, or form.
Right. Well, I mean.
I'd hire the one that would work cheaper.
Okay, I mean, how.
Whatever.
How do you separate that? How is that an argument if they're both the same qualified? And
then there's no case. I mean, if they have everything exactly the same, and you turn one down and take the other one, you can say, I took the other one because they live next door, and I can yell through the window at them. It's a lot easier.
Well, I'm talking about, okay, we have a gender case. We'll use gender. One's male, one's female. Okay, you got a gender case, but they're both exactly qualified. How can you prove that? That's why I said more.
They're going to have to document that the one they turned down was less qualified, if that's what they're going to be, that's going to be their claim. But it could be that the one of them had a better attendance record at their last job. There's tons of way of breaking up a qualified person.
Or give a better interview.
Pardon?
Give a better interview.
Go for the one that's going to help the company the most. And so you would look at recommendations. You'd look at their last job performance, absence record, et cetera, and use those to determine who's going to be the best employee. It's very seldom based on simply, quote, qualifications, unquote. Because a person can be totally qualified and not bother to show up for work two-thirds of the time they're supposed to be there. Oh, they were they were really qualified, but they never came to work. So we fired them. That's their last reference. So people aren't all the same, even though they may on the surface appear. Dig a little bit and you'll find differences, work records and recommendations and the like. Nobody's ever the same. Yeah.
What if in a situation like it was a guy versus a woman to get the position, and the woman was pregnant, and like that's why you didn't want to hire.
Pregnancy Discrimination Act.
That is under discrimination.
Yeah. It used to be called Gender Plus, but that was struck down. The idea of being, you know, Gender Plus, because only women could get pregnant, for God's sake. Yeah, that's right. And so, what we had then is, you know, this idea of Gender Plus. So everything associated with women was used to discriminate against them. We don't like people with such long hair, et cetera. So everybody's things have been tried all along here. What do you know to get out of this? All right, that's enough for today. Go home and mesmerize all this stuff for the quiz on Thursday. Thank you.